From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Acts as he brings the next portion of message number 3 entitled Instructions and Infallible Proofs of Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Godly Stability. The text is found in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 20. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Stability in the fear and faith of God will make a man like a wall of brass, which no one can batter down or break. Only the Lord can make such, but we need such men in the church and in the world, but specially in the pulpit. Against uncompromising men of truth, this age of shams will fight tooth and nail. Nothing seems to offend Satan and his seed like decision. They attack holy firmness, even as the Assyrians besieged fenced cities. The joy is that they cannot prevail against those whom God has made strong in his strength. Carried about with every wind of doctrine, others only need to be blown upon, and away they go. But those who love the doctrines of grace, because they possess the grace of the doctrines, stand like rocks in the midst of raging seas. Whence this stability? I am with thee, saith the Lord. That is the true answer. Jehovah will save and deliver faithful souls from all the assaults of the adversary. Hosts are against us, but the Lord of hosts is with us. We dare not budge an inch, for the Lord himself holds us in our place, and there we will abide forever.
Safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine own would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Temptation casts o'er me its power. In the tempest of life on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Thou oft in the conflict when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. But often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O the rock of my soul, the rock of my soul.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. The book of Acts is the divinely inspired record of the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit in the early church. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, the theme of the book is the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Apostles. In this, the third message in the series, Dr. Cairns is dealing with verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1, which show us how Christ prepared his disciples for the work which lay before them following his ascension to heaven. Before they could know God's visitation and power, they needed a vision of Christ in all his fullness. To that end, the Savior instructed them in three essentials: his resurrection, his person, and his requirements. The resurrection of Christ is the basis and foundation of our faith. Without that, there is no Christianity. Now, to continue this message called Instructions and Infallible Proofs of Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
The resurrection of Christ, as I noted in the opening sermon on the book of Acts, is the great doctrinal basis of the entire book. Not only of this book, but indeed of the entire New Testament. One famous Bible commentator, Lange, said the salient point of Christianity is that Jesus Christ lives. That is the salient point of Christianity. The salient point, literally giving it its meaning from the Latin root of the word salient, is the point that leaps out. The point that is first and foremost. The point that makes it different from every other religion in the world, the point that makes it God's truth, is that Jesus Christ really, physically, literally, personally, bodily rose from the dead and today is alive. Without that doctrine, Christianity is like Samson shorn of his hair. Without that doctrine, Christianity is not Christianity at all. Christendom becomes apostasy. It becomes Baal worship. It becomes the empty carnal shell once it loses that mighty ringing testimony that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now, of course, that is a doctrine which may be intellectually accepted or intellectually denied. I'm not saying that the proof of it isn't there. I'll explain what I mean by accepted or denied just now. The point I'm making is that whether it is accepted or denied, for the most part, it is not personally experienced. And among those who accept it, there is as little interest in it as there is among those who deny it. And I think you'll find that's true. How many sermons in a year do you hear on the resurrection of Christ? How many references in a gospel do you hear to the resurrection of Christ? You'll hear an awful lot of jargon. You'll hear an awful lot of preacher's rhetoric. But you'll hear peculiarly little reference to the fact that Christ lives. It's lost its doctrinal attraction to preachers. And therefore, our preaching has lost so much of its divine authority. My friend, the Apostle Paul found that that attitude was prevalent even in the early days of the church. Even in Corinth, they wanted to be Christians. So peddling the resurrection. They wanted to be Christians, but they wanted to, in that land of Greece, so learned and all the rest of it, they wanted to be free from the stigma of believing in the supernatural resurrection of Christ. And he soon taught them, you can't be a Christian without the resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 through to 18, he says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. The biggest farce in the world is preaching apart from the resurrection of Christ. The biggest nonsense in the world is preaching apart from the resurrection of Christ. There's not a greater clown in America today than the man who would get up to preach and he doesn't preach a risen Christ. The man's a clown. He'd be far better out acting in a circus. He'd be far better out being an entertainer in a 10th-rate music hall. He'd be far better out being a garbage collector than preaching without the risen Christ. It's nonsense. Paul says our preaching's vain. It's empty. It's farcical. But he goes on. He says your faith is also vain. That's the importance of this doctrine. And he says, yea, and we are also found false witnesses of God. And then verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. There's no salvation apart from the resurrection of Christ. And then verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. There's no heaven apart from the resurrection of Christ. Those who have died believing Christians are in hell if Christ has not risen from the dead. So this is the great doctrinal basis. But, as he says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, now is Christ risen from the dead. That's the thrill and the joy of Paul's message. He is risen from the dead. And that's the message of Acts chapter 1, right at the very beginning. He is risen. Here is first an infallible certainty. We read that the Lord Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. The word infallible proofs speaks of convincing proofs. Now, those disciples were not easily convinced. They were skeptical. When they were told by those who had seen Christ that he was risen from the dead, they didn't believe it. There was nobody believed less in the possibility of the resurrection from the dead than the disciples of Jesus Christ. There was nobody more depressed and sorrowful than any one of those disciples. They had given up all hope, and they certainly were not expecting to see the risen Christ. So they were not to be easily convinced that the Lord Jesus was alive, but thank God, He convinced them. You know, at the end of the day, He's the only one can convince anybody of the resurrection. Now, that's not to say that the arguments in favor of the resurrection are weak. They're not. I don't believe that in most cases there is a case that goes before the United States Supreme Court to be decided by the judges that is decided on evidence half as strong as the evidence for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The evidence is there. But what I'm saying is this. You can convince a man's mind. You can overwhelm his thinking with the weight of evidence. But only the Lord Jesus Christ Himself can convince the soul. Only the Lord Jesus Himself can really deal with the heart and so work in that soul as to make that man bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christ who convinced these people. My friend, that's what we have got to be praying for. When we get to preach and when we get to witness, we've got to be praying that the Lord Himself will be in every message and that the Lord Himself will back home every argument, that the Lord Himself will give weight and authority to every word, that the Savior Himself, by His Holy Spirit, will illuminate the understanding and will bring souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the apostles did, as I say, have infallible proofs. I haven't time to preach on them. They had the sight of Christ. So they had the proof of the sight of their own eyes. They had the speech of Christ. They had the hearing of their ears. And then they got the Spirit of Christ. Now, those three proofs we have in Acts chapter 1. There are many other proofs in other passages of Scripture which we're not turning to this morning. But those three proofs to them were infallible. They saw Him, they heard Him, and they received His Spirit according to His promise. Infallible proofs indeed. You know, we are not less convinced than they are. First of all, we have two of the three proofs ourselves. We have the speech of Christ. We have His Word. We have the Spirit of Christ. We have the two of the three that they had in Acts chapter 1. And thank God, soon we're going to have the sight of Christ. We see Him now by faith. Soon we will see Him with the eye of the flesh. Thank God for the infallible proofs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is an infallible certainty. But I want you to notice, in moving on from the doctrine to its practical application, that there's an important connection here. I remember in was it 1978 or 79 when I was over here, I remember mentioning this at a prayer meeting. There is a very important connection in Acts chapter 1. There are two great themes, basically, the resurrection and witnessing. In fact, witnessing is the key theme right the whole way through the book of the Acts. Now, in verse 8 of chapter 1, we have what I've called the key verse of the entire book. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the theme is witnessing. Now here's the power to witness. It's the power of the resurrection. You remember the Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power of the risen Christ. The power of the risen Christ is the power that gives us authority and victory in witnessing. Now those two things always go together in the Bible. And without that power, you will certainly never do anything for God. For you to try to serve the Lord without the power of the risen Christ through His Spirit is a waste of time. For you to try to pray without the Holy Spirit's power, for you to try to understand and benefit from the Scripture without the power of the risen Christ through the Spirit, for you to seek to witness and win souls without that power, it's a total waste of time. For the Lord Jesus Christ has said, without me you can do nothing. Zechariah tells us it's not by might nor by power. By my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the power of the risen Christ through the Holy Spirit. The example I gave when I mentioned this at the prayer meeting is the example that always sticks in my mind most clearly. Going back to Exodus 25, and I'm not even going to turn to it, for if I do, we'd never maybe get out of it again this morning. Exodus 25, the story and the details of the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now you'll remember the layout. There's the outer court. There's the inner sanctuary. There's the holy place and the holiest of all. Now, leaving aside the court entirely, getting beyond the brazen altar, the brazen laver, going into the holy place. As you would walk in, you'd find on your right-hand side the table of showbread. You'd find over against the veil the altar of incense. And you'd find on your left-hand side the golden candlestick. It should be called the golden lampstand. The Bible doesn't have candlesticks. You know the difference between a candlestick and a lampstand. A candle burns itself. A lampstand burns another fuel. The lampstand burning oil in this instance. Now, it was the seven-branched candlestick. The central stem and six branches beaten out of it. Not joined onto it, beaten out of it. The central stem, speaking of Christ, we are the branches, one with him, united to him in a vital union. Now, I'm not going into the lampstand and its details this morning, but I want you to notice one thing. That on the central stem and in every branch, four in the central stem, three in every branch, we read that there was a knop. Many people have wondered what the knop is, the K-N-O-P. Most people take it to be a bud-shaped thing. A knop and a flower and a bowl. Or, to give it its technical term from the field of botany, a calyx. Those of you who study flowers will know what a calyx is. A little bowl shape that holds the seed that's just about to burst forth into life and protects it until it does burst forth. Now then, here we have a knop and a flower and a bowl. Three times up every branch, four times up the central stem. Now, those branches were set in such a way that when those bowls were filled with oil, they threw light over against the central stem. That's how it was made. Now, the interesting thing is that the bowls and the knops and the flowers, while Jewish tradition tells us the knop is the bud of the pomegranate, and Jewish tradition tells us that the flower is the lily, the Bible doesn't mention those things. The only thing the Bible mentions is Exodus 25:33, that the bowls were almond-shaped. That's the thing to understand. Because the almond in Scripture is the symbol of resurrection. You remember when Aaron's rod was put with the rods of the other leaders of the tribes of Israel before the Lord? They were just dead sticks. But Aaron's rod budded. And what did it bud? It budded and brought forth almond blossoms. Life from the dead. That's the scriptural testimony of the almond. Now then, we find that these almond-shaped bowls, speaking of resurrection, were filled with oil, which in Scripture is always the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And they were set on fire, and they gave the light, which in Scripture is the emblem of witness, and they gave that light over against the central stem, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I give witness to Christ? My friend, first of all, I give witness to Christ when I am fashioned according to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not until then. Until I know the molding and the shaping of the resurrection power of Christ in my life, I can never be a witness to Jesus Christ. And then, knowing the power of his resurrection, I can then be filled with the oil of the Spirit. And when the oil fills the man who knows what it is to die to self and know the resurrection of Christ in personal experience, when the oil of the Spirit fills that man, God will set him on fire and he'll burn with a light that will not go out. Thank God he will have the power of witnessing. That is the connection which Acts strikes and underlines and stresses right at the very beginning. That is the connection which runs right through the book of Acts. That is the connection that we have got to understand today. If we are going to do anything for God, we must know the power of resurrection and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now then, that is the theme of resurrection.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.